Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, June 21st, 2010. I'm Sam Minter. As usual, I have Yvonne Bo with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
So today we've got a few exciting things lined up for you. We're going to talk about some exciting new blue lasers that you can order. The Vuvuzelas that are at the World Cup. Some problems folks have had with ordering iPhones. And finally, a little bit about this thing IBM has going on called Watson. So let's pull it right up and start talking about these blue lasers. For those of you who haven't seen, there is a company called Wicked Lasers. You can go see them at wickedlasers.com. And basically, their whole thing is you can get all kinds of laser products from them. You know, your little light pens and stuff. But their main thing is super high powered lasers. We're not talking about the kind that you mount in a 747 and blow up missiles with. But you know, they're the ones.
No, wow, man, I just okay.
You know, but. You know, and they've had for a while, you can get the green lasers, and you can get the green lasers from a lot of places that go much, much further than the traditional red lasers that have been in laser pointers for however long. You know, and the green ones can go like, you can see them better without like putting dust in the air like you sometimes have to for the red ones, and they can go miles. And so there have been issues with these, the green ones, with, you know, people trying to shine them in the light of airplane cockpits coming up to landing and stuff like that.
Right.
And just generally people being jackasses. But the new one, their Spider 3 Pro Arctic series, which you can order for under $200, that basically they're taking the lasers out of Blu-ray players and repurposing. They actually will go buy a Blu-ray laser player to get the diode they want, and then they'll repackage it in this little thing. It looks like a lightsaber, but yeah, here's the thing on it, and let me see if I'll actually. There have been a number of articles on Gizmodo, on IO9, on a whole bunch of different places about this that you know give you all kinds of information. But let me see if I can get straight to their website if it'll let me. It's being slow though, so let me just say, yeah. The bottom line on these things is these things are fucking dangerous. Okay.
Warning. Extremely dangerous is an understatement to 1 watt of laser power. At close range, this class 4 beam will cause immediate and irreversible retinal damage. Use with extreme caution, and use only when wearing proper safety goggles with an OD of 3+ is required and 4.4 for longer exposures. Customers will be required to completely read and agree to our class 4 laser hazard acknowledgement form. Okay.
So here are a few things with this. And, I'm trying to find. There was a really great like set of warnings on this, but you know, here's the thing. Like you know,
that warning wasn't strong enough for
no,
you.
No. They have a whole page here somewhere. I want to find.
Oh, well, it's the page there. I didn't go to the acknowledgement page. Yeah.
Let me state a few things here.
Here.
First of all, just
do not allow.
Go
ahead. Okay. It says here, for example, never use your laser in the vicinity of airports, highways, construction sites, or anywhere individuals need to constantly pay attention to their work or their own safety. A split second distraction, a sudden laser light in a plane cockpit, for example, can be disastrous. Is that powerful enough for you?
No. See, there's some nice more ones. If you click through on the little warning at the bottom here. Okay, so here we go. So the URL I'm at, for anybody who cares here, wickedlasers.com/laser-tech/blue_light_hazard.html. You can click through to that from, I believe, the page you were looking at. Yvonne, there's the last paragraph or whatever is orange and is a link. It'll take you there. So I'm going to try to summarize rather than reading, although this is kind of amusing, some of these things. One of the things, for instance, you're familiar with a regular old laser that, you know, okay, even the red pointer lasers, if you shine the damn things into your eye and keep looking at them, then you're going to fuck up your vision. okay?
Right.
The green ones are worse than that. These are even worse than that because it's not only looking directly into it. If even the diffuse reflection off a wall or something, if you're within like 2 or 3 feet of it, can cause permanent eye damage. If you
okay, so let me ask a question. Why would one want one of these things?
To be a jackass. To be a jackass. Look,
I mean, why are these guys making them? I mean, I don't understand this. It's useless.
There are all kinds of examples of, things. I mean, it's a coolness factor, okay? But because there are things like, with these kinds of lasers, if you point it at a match, the match will burst into flame. And apparently, if you point it at your skin will burst into flame. Yeah. So, I let's see, direct or indirect. Listen to this one. Direct or indirect skin exposure to blue laser light is also harmful. This laser can easily generate a power radiance of 15 watts per square centimeter. Therefore, this laser's beam exceeds the skin exposure by 75 times. At this level of irradiance, skin exposure to the intense blue laser can possibly cause cancer. Do not allow bare skin to be exposed, including your face when wearing safety goggles, to light diffusely reflected from any surface closer than several inches. This laser is 1,000 times stronger than sunlight on skin, and any type of exposure should be avoided, whether it be from the collimated beam or close exposure to its bright diffused reflections. They also mentioned the eye damage. Unlike like some of the other kinds of things, it's not an instantaneous thing. Basically, you look at this blue light, and over the course of the next week, you'll go blind. Fun stuff like that.
So what is the point of this device?
So the point is, it's a cool laser for people to play with. The flip side is, and one of the reasons this came up in discussion here, because just a few days ago, we were sitting in our living room, and all of a sudden, someone was bouncing a green laser around inside our living room. So one of our neighbors has, like, a kid, and they were being a jackass with their green laser and shining it in our window or whatever. And, even with the green laser, it's like, what the hell is that? My eyes, and it's flashing all around the room, and it's like, what a jackass. The difference is, these things are going to cost $200. If the jackass neighbor did the same thing with one of these blue lasers, they could actually hurt us significantly if they pointed it in the wrong place,
Okay, so why would anybody fucking trying to sell these things?
Well, because there are a lot of geeks out there who are going to want to play with these things. And, there are going to be a lot of jackasses out there who want to play with these things and mess with people and do stuff. And
well, by the way, just so you know, this website predicts the future, because it says over here that they're quoting a Wall Street Journal article that they talked about the laser with a date of July 2010.
So anyway, I just wanted to bring this up because I think it's interesting. And I have mixed feelings. On the one hand, do I think that someone should proactively outlaw these things or keep people from selling them or whatever? It turns out,
I got to say that the answer is yes. I think that these things should be made illegal. I mean, this is way too dangerous.
Here's where I come down. I think the jackasses who are going to take these things and try to hurt people, obviously that should be illegal. I'm not sure selling it should be illegal, because here's the other thing. If you Google on the internet, you will find instructions for how, with a few dollars of parts from Radio Shack, you can open up any Blu-ray player and make one of these in like 20 minutes. 20 minutes, okay. And like a few bucks worth of parts from Radio Shack.
I understand that, but if I were me, I'd outlaw these fucking things. You see, the problem is that you could hurt people accidentally.
Yes,
I mean, it's
absolutely.
All you have to do
is have some kid, like I said, the one shining this in the window, like,
and that's it.
Boom, I look out the window at the wrong time, I'm fucking blind. Even if I don't look out the window, they point it at my skin, and 10 years later I have skin cancer. I don't know. And now, obviously, the dangers are much greater in close proximity than someone beaming this thing at you from many hundreds of feet away. But still, it's like, And if you know there are going to be all kinds of people who buy this shit and then aren't careful, you know, because, you know, frankly, people aren't, you know, and they're going to accidentally blind themselves. They're going to, like, set their house on fire. They're going to give themselves cancer or whatever. And, you know, I think that this is one of those things where even if it's not illegal, and I'm not sure it should be, but it's clearly unwise.
You know? Yes.
And of course, to make it more fun, they make the handle look like a lightsaber.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, okay, all right. Well, blue lasers, bad idea.
So in the meantime, you know, maybe it should be illegal, but, you know, you're going to order one, aren't you, Ivan?
No, of course. I was like placing my order right now.
There you go. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with a different topic.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, we're back. Well, what do you want to do next? iPhones? Let's do iPhones.
Yep.
So the iPhone 4 was made available for pre-order Monday, was it? Monday, Tuesday, somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Somewhere around there. It was sometime this past week, so.
Anyway, it was a huge freaking disaster. Amongst...
Well, I don't know. Wait, why do you say it's a disaster? I mean...
Okay, I'm being hyperbolic. They had a number of issues with their rollout. So, first of all, they had your typical sort of self-denial of service. So many people trying to order these things online, for instance, that the services were browning out and people weren't able to order online properly a lot of the time. Clearly, a lot of people did get their orders through, but a lot of people were very frustrated trying over and over and over again for hours, not being able to get their order through, having the system give them erroneous error messages like you don't have an account or you have to, you know, whatever. All kinds of stuff that wasn't necessarily true.
However, am I understanding that this was at the, whatchamacallit, AT&T website? Because I did try to do the same on the Apple website and didn't have such problems.
Okay. So this was one thing. Was AT&T screwed up something in, or no, was that iPads where they screwed up and were giving away data, or?
No, that was with the iPhone ordering.
They also screwed up something with iPads, I should say, but that was a separate item. But they were accidentally leaking customer information in certain cases, with the iPhone orders. And of course, Apple went out of stock of the first round of these as well. And then apparently I've seen articles this weekend, where Apple/AT&T, whoever, have been apparently randomly canceling some orders as well. So,
huh?
Yeah,
that's a new one.
That was in, I saw that this morning. And I did not read the details, but apparently it's just more glitches. It looks like, so a lot of people have been very frustrated with the process. Having said that, I mean, frankly, this something along these lines seems to happen every time, you know, these things first become
available.
Well,
they sold a million of the fucking things in, like, no time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, what the hell? I mean, a million of these.
Yeah.
So,
I don't think this product is going to be a success at all. You know, it's just going to crash.
No, I think it's going to be a disaster. I think the company, you know, might as well Apple just contact the bankruptcy attorneys. I don't think they're going to, you know, they're going to survive. I mean, are you fucking joking? I mean, a million of them. I mean, people went berserk over the damn phone.
Did you order yours?
Them?
You mentioned last week you were going to. Did you?
I actually have it in my cart right now, but and I didn't send the order. No, I didn't check it out yet. No.
But you know, this is one of those things, though. I mean, when you have a high profile launch like this, the first day is going to be crazy. You know,
let me finish explaining why it's in my cart and I didn't do it. My wife demanded that I buy her an iPad if I bought myself an iPhone.
Excellent.
Which is why I was like, oh, man, I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like,
well, get her the damn iPhone.
You know, I turned a $300 transaction into a $1,200 transaction. You know, I was just like, and I got to admit that last week we had at our place of business, we had a show, okay, where we had a whole bunch of software manufacturers at the show, okay, and they were showing their different things and whatever. And one of the companies that was a vendor, they, you know, were displaying a whole bunch of stuff for graphic arts, okay. So there are a whole bunch of people with Macs, and there was like one company that came from the West Coast, which they brought. Well, the guy did bring an iPad as well, and I was looking at the damn thing, and I was just like, oh man, this thing's so cool. You know, because there were we did have a number of iPads at the show. People had come in with them, and I got to admit that they are.
You know, I'll tell you where, you know, in terms of my iPad exposure so far, and I sort of think that it's kind of interesting. You know, I've obviously seen them at Apple stores. I saw my first one in an Apple store like the first weekend they were out. I went to check them out.
Right, right.
I've seen a handful at work. There are several people at work that have them, some that I know and some that, you know, I just see them walking in the halls with them. And that's not to be surprising. It's sort of a tech-centric company. However, I have yet to see one actually in the wild, like, you know, sitting in a coffee shop or whatever, and the guy next to me has one or anything like that. I haven't
yet. Oh, no. I've seen them. I've seen them at that. I've seen them on an airplane. When I flew to Colombia like a couple of weeks ago, there were two people with iPads in the business class section. Okay. I've seen them all over the place. I mean, I've been stunned by all the places. But I've seen them like all over the place. So, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just not hanging out at enough places, but, like I saw iPhones in the wild faster when they first came out, but
no, you haven't been going out enough, man. Because I got to tell you that I've been shocked by the number of iPads I've seen. Okay, really? So
yeah, okay.
So anyway, so I don't know. I think,
but I was just gonna say that here the fundamental thing though in these big product launches. Unless you're an absolute nutcase, you just avoid the first couple days, you know?
Well, that is why I put it in the cart and I haven't even ordered it yet, to be honest with you.
I mean, like, you know, because we're going to be reading, you know, about the – well, the first guy's apparently already in line in some Apple store somewhere for the iPhone 4. But we're going to be reading about the lines and the people camped out and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's going to be a madhouse. You know, the first day when it's available in stores, the online ordering experience was like nuts and kind of flaky because so many people were trying to do it the first day. And yes, okay, they ran out of stock of the first batch, but the second batch is only a couple weeks later. You know, if you really want one of these things, you know, or, you know, avoid the rush at the beginning, order it a little bit later, and know you won't be the very first person in the world to have one of these things, but it won't be very long. You'll have it in another couple of weeks, you know?
What? I mean, I could live without being the first person. You know, I got to admit that I used to be one of these guys that it was always, I want to get the first one, to, you know, it could go out the first one. I mean, I remember, gosh, you got, you know, with my father, look, we got the cell phone. I mean, I'm talking about when we got the first cell phone we ever got, which was about 25 years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, our phone number was, you know, all the phone numbers were for cell phones in Puerto Rico started with 3837. It was area code 787383 something. We had like a number like Like, we had one of the first 100 cell phones that were sold, okay? Right. All right, in Puerto Rico. I mean, it was cool. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, we'll just make a call from my phone. Now, granted, remember, this is a handheld phone from the 80s. I mean, this thing, was huge, okay? But compared to the fact that nobody else had one of these things, I mean, it was the coolness factor was overwhelming. Now, right now, it's like there's so much technology right now that I'm like, I can wait months. It's not such a leap. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about having no phone to actually having a cell phone. Right now, it's a cooler cell phone. Now, granted, I do want it badly, I can wait.
I've told you where I am, but I'll be honest here. If I was still single, I'd already have an iPad. I'd already have ordered an iPhone 4. I wouldn't have.
I will admit to probably the same thing. I'll say this.
I would not have braved the day one crowds, but I would have ordered it right after and had it fairly quickly. I don't have either of these things right now because, I'm a responsible adult now. And, more important things get budgeted for before the toys do. Damn it.
Right.
But eventually, when my phone dies due to a horrible accident being stepped on next week sometime, then it'll be time, just kidding.
I think that my wife, by the way, is trying to get the new phone quickly. In the last 3 days that I've been with her, I've seen her drop her iPhone on the ground like 3 times. And I'm like, every time I turn around, I hear this clack, 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 clack. And I turn around, I look at him like, what the hell?
Like, damn it, it's not butter broken in your hands?
Yet. It's all I hear, click, click, click. And it's the phone falling. And I mean, she's got a purse. For Pete's sake, I'm like thinking, you've got a bag to put this thing in, and it's still like slipping out of your hand. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time for another break. It's time for your poem of the week. Enjoy your poem. We'll be right back, and I think we're only going to do one more segment today and try to squeeze in a couple quick topics into it. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
Diane Wachowski, by Dave Newman. I called her once when she was teaching at Michigan State. I was 23 years old and a janitor. I thought I'd go to grad school instead. You could read Diane Wachowski on the job with a broom in one hand, a book in the other. You didn't have to go to grad school to understand her poems. I didn't want to go to grad school to study with Diane Wachowski. I wanted to tell her I loved her poems, and that maybe she would love my poems and we could be friends. But books are not people, and authors are not their books. Diane Wachowski was cranky on the phone. She asked for my name 3 times and cleared her throat. I wondered if she'd ever called William Carlos Williams. Diane Wachowski writes like William Carlos Williams, but much better. William Carlos Williams was not a crank. He was a doctor. If you have to call a poet, call one who believes in medicine. My favorite Wachowski title was Dancing on the Grave of a Son of a Bitch. She knew how to take a man down in a poem. You ride a broken motorcycle, you speak a dead language, you are a bad plumber, you write with an inkless pen. I used to like to fight with women and write about it. The women that I fought with thought I was a very good writer. One lady slapped me across the face and said, "Write about that." I wrote about it. I wrote, "Your slaps are like wrecking balls, but I am a very large building made of heavenly steel." Diane Wachowski didn't know much about grad school, even though she was on the phone at the university where she taught. I said, "Well, I really love your poems." She said, "Thank you." I have not spoken to Diane Wachowski since. though I still read her books. If you see her, tell her hello, and that I am in love.
For more like this, go to notellmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we are back, and I think we want to squeeze two things in. They're sort of small topics, so I don't think it'll be a problem. We got the Vuvuzelas and IBM's Watson project. So I have not been watching the World Cup. I'm not a sports guy. I've not watched a single minute of any of it. I don't know who's winning, who's losing. I don't really know. I don't care. However, I have not been able to avoid the talk of these Vuvuzelas. My mom posted something about on Facebook about them. You know, Well, she actually posted something that was like, you know, they're getting a bad rap right now. Here's a video of like, you know, someone playing some interesting music with Vuvuzelas or whatever. And I listened to the video and I'm like, that doesn't make me want to hear them more. You know, because it was like, you know, they were playing real songs and they had tuned Vuvuzelas or whatever, but they still were kind of annoying. And so I understand.
Most of the people that I've heard complaining about the damn Vuvuzelas obviously have not been to a lot of soccer games, because I mean, soccer games are noisy, and maybe it's not. So South Africa, they got the Vuvuzela, but in Latin America and other places, they have all these other noise-making things, and they go through the whole fucking game. And to be honest, having watched that many soccer games, I mean, until people started complaining about it, I actually hadn't even like paid any attention to the damn noisemakers. I think people are even being more self-conscious about it simply because people are complaining about it.
Yeah, maybe. I think people are just having fun complaining, to be honest.
I think so.
Yeah, you know, and
well, and some people have been. The BBC received enough complaints that they are providing a second audio program
that filters
a significant portion of the noise from the Vuvuzelas.
Yeah, because I saw someone post online, you know, a way you could use like sound processing software on your Mac or whatever to like eliminate the Vuvuzela noise. But you know, I don't know. So you don't mind the noise? You think it's fine?
I think it's fine. It hasn't really bothered me. I got to be honest with you.
Okay, so I really have nothing else to say about that because you know I haven't watched any of it. But I just found it really amusing that. Yeah, there's been so much talk about it, and there have been random people making Vuvuzela comments and, you know, saying, you know, it sounds like a woman's body part, you know, and there's another name for it that sounds like a disease, I guess. I don't know, but anyway.
I think most of the people that are complaining about it just have not been, like, have not really, I mean, I don't know. They're just casual football fans, I guess. Soccer.
Or not fans football. At all, who are just paying attention because, you know.
Right, and now they're getting annoyed.
They're checking it out. So, okay, the next thing, and this will wrap us up today. IBM came out with this thing called Watson, right?
It's yes.
Basically, a knowledge database thingy that's designed to play Jeopardy or something like that.
And it's pretty good at answering the questions. I mean, and it's answer. Here's the one thing. I think that we've always thought about, you know, you see these computers and you say, computer, please look this up or please give me this. And this damn thing is actually pretty good at answering unstructured, questions, you know, just based on a sentence, not on you filling out certain fields. So we'll look up information or something. No. It actually is pretty good. I actually tried. I competed against it.
So it's pretty damn good. So where are you doing this? Is this the dynamic
in the New York Times?
Okay.
In the New York Times, there is go to newyorktimes.com and go to the magazine. Okay, it's right there in the magazine, and it says what is IBM's Watson, and you can go in there. There's an interactive feature. Or does a Watson trivia challenge? Now, and in the trivia challenge.
Let me give the URL because I think this is it. It's nytimes.com/interactive/2010/06/16/magazine/watson-trivia-game.html. Okay.
Yeah. Well, okay. All right. And if you guys are good enough to actually type all that in, you know, you got my vote. So you got over here, you got a number of, for example, you've got a number of questions. And it's like, say, here, you've got baggage. Okay. Is this category? So I click on it. And it says, sing a song about one of these, a sailor's bag for small articles. I don't know.
Duffel.
I have no idea.
Duffel.
What?
Duffel.
Oh, duffel? Okay, so I want to answer. Okay, so what is duffel? Okay, submit the answer. It says I'm wrong. Okay, possible answer found. Papa's got a brand new bag. And that's the answer that the computer came up with.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Okay. Is it supposed to be song?
But no, wait. But it's saying no. It's saying wrong. It's saying that the actual correct answer was Diddy Bag. So we were both wrong on this one.
Diddy
okay.
Bag?
All right. So next.
Diddy Bag?
Diddy Bag.
Okay. Yeah. Diddy Bag.
Okay. So historic fashion. The high-waisted dresses of the early 19th century was known as this style after the first French one ruled by Napoleon. I don't know. Do you have any idea?
Empire?
Okay, I'm going to type that as the answer. Empire. Okay. Yes, you're correct. And by the way, Watson also weighed in, and it also selected Empire style as the correct answer. Okay? All right. So, let's see.
The critical part of this, from the little bit I've read, now I did not read the whole article, I'll admit, I skimmed. But, the critical part here is this is not an interface where you type in the question and then Watson is going and doing internet searches and trying to figure out an answer. It's continually taking in various sorts of data and sort of building a knowledge base internal to itself that it uses to answer these kinds of questions.
That's right.
And so, there are various systems that have done things like this before, but apparently they've made a lot of strides in terms of making it scalable, being able to suck in lots of information, and letting it be asked questions in natural language rather than some specific syntax, things along those lines to make this system. And, I'm still waiting. This is perhaps an impressive show of technology. I'm still waiting for the computers to become self-aware and start, taking over.
I'd rather not have that happen, please. Thank you very much.
Frankly, one of the things that, artificial intelligence researchers going back to the 40s, were constantly talking about how they believed they were just 10 to 20 years away from being able to build a computer system complex enough to be not discernible from a human intelligence. That's where people talk about the Turing test and things like that. It, of course, has gotten pushed out and out and out again. And actually, most folks in the artificial intelligence field actually sort of gave up on that goal a couple of decades ago.
Yep.
And were like, we're going to do much more specific things. We're going to work on computer vision and speech recognition and, expert systems in specific topics and, all kinds of other things. And frankly, we've some of those things are getting better and better and better. I mean, your speech recognition systems are now embedded in those annoying phone menus you get. I mean, very basic, but there you go. There has been progress in a lot of those areas, but people have, for the most part, gone away from the "Hey, let's build an intelligent computer" kind of thing. I think it's just a delay. You'll eventually get there because fundamentally, the complexity will eventually be enough that it can simulate things to the point that we can't tell the difference. And at that point, You know, you get into sort of philosophical arguments whether if you can't tell the difference between thing A and thing B, is there really a difference? You know, but
yeah, I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, if you can't really tell the difference, then, you know, that, I think that's the point. You know, you're right. I mean, we'll get to a philosophical debate, but we're not there yet. But anyway, it'll be interesting, though, because we will.
Anyway, you had fun with Watson, and Watson was smarter than you on the questions.
Actually, I think we were going pretty even. I mean, it answered 7 questions right. I answered 7 questions right when I did it.
Okay, not bad.
Okay. And, so and, I was
and,
like...
And apparently, the folks who actually do the Jeopardy show, which, by the way, I've gotten into the habit of... I watch it fairly regularly again. I hadn't for a long time. But they've actually agreed to, like, at some point host a match with, you know, Alex Trebek and the whole deal, where at the moment that Alex asks a question or whatever, it'll be texted to the computer and it'll answer that way too, and it'll actually participate in. I would presume it's some sort
of... Oh, I want to watch that. That'll be awesome.
I presume it's going to be some sort of special demo show along the lines of Celebrity Jeopardy and not a real match, but, you know. Still, it'll be fun to watch.
I think it'll be awesome. Oh, that will be awesome, yes.
So I just got a CNN news alert about somebody winning the U.S. Open. Like, I could give a crap. Anyway.
Well, the one thing about it that's actually kind of neat about the guy that just won the U.S. Open is that the guy is from Northern Ireland. And remember, we were talking about this last week. It is, you know, I think it is the first time in over 100 years, I believe, that a non-U.S. Player has won the U.S. Open. So,
okay.
There you go.
I don't know.
And it happened to be
I just
Northern
get pissed
Ireland,
whenever
so.
I get a news alert for something that, you know, I don't actually consider significant. Like, to me, like, unless I've signed up for a sports news alert, I don't think sports should ever impinge on my news alert unless somebody, you know, blew the place up or started shooting people.
Ah, well, those happy thoughts. Anyway, all right. Well, on that note.
Okay, thanks everybody for joining us. This has been yet another edition of Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, questions... I almost forgot something important. I can't bring up my mail right now because the stupid... I upgraded my Mac OS and asked to re-optimize the mail database. And since I've got like 30,
oh, that's right.
I've got like 30 gig of mail, it's going to take hours.
Okay.
And so I'll have to do this by memory. We did get one piece of feedback from our show 2 weeks ago.
What about from your iPhone?
Let me see if I can find it. I might be able to. Da da da, you know, vamp for a second, sing or something, Yvonne.
Da 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 da. Do 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 do. Be do 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 do.
And that was enough. I found it. So we have feedback. This was feedback from our show 2 weeks ago, which was our 3-year anniversary show. It didn't come in time for us to include it last week, but this is from a listener. Who our loyal listener, Matt, who we haven't heard from for a while. But he says, congratulations on 3 years of podcasting. I've listened to every show as my 3-year anniversary.
Whoa!
There you go.
Oh, man, yes.
Thank you,
okay.
Matt.
Okay.
I've listened to every show as my 3-year anniversary for my current job is this week as well, the company for which it takes me 1.5 hours to get to. So thanks for keeping me company once a week. He listens to us on his commute. So thank you very much, Matt, for being a loyal listener for 3 full years.
We got to get him an award or something. I mean, this is like, you know, 3 years. I mean, you know, listening to us bullshit, you know, for 3 years. I mean, to serve something. We got to go offline. We got to figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll figure something out for you, Matt. So, okay. Thanks everybody again. Email me with questions, comments, thoughts, and tell your friends to listen, and we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Yvonne.
Okay. Bye-bye.